coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today. We are going to continue our research, our biblical research into la beast. That's French for the beast. I am going to show you something first. I just received information this morning. This is in preparation for the Red River Prophecy Conference, which is fast approaching in just over a month. The dates are March 15th, 16th, and 17th. Put that on your calendar. Put that in your calendar, on your calendar, up your calendar, wherever you want to put it on your calendar, stick it on your calendar. March 15th, 16th, and 17th at Moorhead, Minnesota. Go to Titus213hope.com for more information. I am super covered up, getting ready for Fargo, and then immediately after that, we will be in Northfield, Minnesota, ministering with Pastor Jason Cooley and the wonderful people of his church. And so I'm like in super mode, trying to get everything done. And then after that, we come home, and I prepare for a 3-day pastors' conference that will be streamed from here at Bethel to the pastors of Turkana that are associated with our radio station there in Turkana. And I brought up the idea of simulcasting that to the pastors who I have met in Samburu, Kenya. This will be a pastor's conference. I will be covering things on doctrine things primarily. What to believe, what not to believe, who to watch out for, things like that. This is a watchman ministry. And so I'm going to stand on the wall where these pastors are, and I'm going to blow the trumpet. And I'm going to sound the alarm on some wolves that are in sheep's clothing. If you watched this Watchman broadcast that I was playing before today, PMO, I blow the whistle on some wolves, especially one in Kenya, Dr. Owar. I have heard about this man and known about his shenanigans. That's a Kenyan word for you, shenanigan. Of course, it's Irish Kenyan. But anyway, it's his shenanigans and his lies. And I'm telling you, pastors in Kenya, stay away from this guy. Stay away from him. He is dangerous. Anybody that claims the position that belongs solely to Jesus Christ, and by that I mean when Moses, when the people asked God in Deuteronomy 18, who do we listen to? God said, I'm going to send a prophet, capital P in the King James Bible. We know who that is. That's Christ. I'm going to send a prophet. I'm going to give him my words. He's going to say my words. You need to listen to him. Well, as it stands, Dr. Owar claims that he's that prophet that Moses spoke of. And I'm just going, no, you don't. That you're not him. You are like a billion miles away from him. So anyway, I have a very, very tight schedule. I have a tight schedule today. I've got a doctor's appointment, so I need to get moving. I may cut this off a little early today, but I'm going to show you a video. In fact, let me push a couple of buttons here and get it cued. I have a friend, good friend, love this man. He is a commercial airline pilot. He flies private jet, not mine, not my private jet. He wouldn't fly mine because I don't have one. But anyway, he flies private jets, but he does it for a company. And I shared with him a video that is of ground radar of an unknown aerial object. And I wanted his input on it. So he gave it to me and he said, I've got a better one than that. He knows, and I'm not naming names here, but he said that he had a friend who at one time flew for Customs and Border Patrol. And his friend referred him to a video. And this comes from the Aguadilla, Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States. The Aguadilla Airport, where Customs and Border Patrol agents have a turboprop helicopter that takes off and does Border Patrol and Customs and patrol the seas looking for illegal boats coming into America carrying illegal aliens or drugs or contraband of various sorts. This turboprop helicopter took off, and this is the video. It spotted an object. Now, this is infrared video. The black object here that they're trying to focus on, in infrared terms, the blacker it is, the hotter it is. And this is a hot object. There it is right there. This thing was being, of course, it got the attention. It's flying over an airport without permission, without any lettering, without any transponder, nothing. It does not have, it is violating airspace. But it is an object of an unknown type. You can see the object there. The new term for is unidentified aerial phenomenon. And this thing, it eventually flies over the ocean. And Aguadilla is, I think, in western Puerto Rico. It eventually flies over the ocean. You're going to see it. It looked to me at first like it split in two. But I read some things about it, and apparently it was joined by another UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, whatever a phenomenon is, that's what it is. This is what you're looking at. Now this is not a drone either. Drones don't, number one, they're not that big. Number two, well, some of them are, but they're not normally that hot. Look at this. Fast moving object. And what it will do, it kind of appears and disappears. It will eventually fly into the ocean unhindered. Usually when something hits the ocean, there's a big splash and it slows it down. I mean, water can stop bullets, right? When it's about ready to be joined by another, there it is, right there. See, it looks to me like it splits in two, but I don't know. But then both of these objects disappear right into the water, and then they're not seen again. And again, this was This is a video that the man who filmed this, they don't want their names associated with this. Now, I want you to understand this. This is not the only time that events like this happen. This is not a one-time occurrence. This is over what amounts to United States airspace. You can Google this. Type in Aguadilla Coast Guard UFO video. You can watch it yourself. You can watch it a billion times if you want. I'm going to be presenting my case for what things are this year's Prophecy Conference, Red River. You don't want to miss it. If you are able to be there, then be there. If not, they stream them live. The links will be on the website. But I encourage you. I am building a case for what these things are, where they come from. And it's not something, there's things that I ignored for years because I didn't see them in the Bible. And I thought people just make this stuff up. I don't believe that anymore because I see things in the Bible that I didn't see before. And I'm going to lay a case out at the Red River Prophecy Conference for what people are seeing. We have aerial phenomenon that is flying over U.S. airspace that our Pentagon Customs, this agent, did not want his name associated with this video because every time commercial pilots, military pilots, especially in the United States, every time they spot one of these bogeys, in World War II they called them Foo Fighters, every time they spot one of these bogeys, they go to file a report. They're accused of being drunk. They're accused of you didn't see what you thought you saw, or they're mocked or they're made fun of. Come on. There is going to be an invasion of planet Earth. We know this from Bible prophecy in relation to the coming of the man of sin, the son of perdition. And if you think that the whole UFO phenomenon issue is a non-issue, I think you're wrong. I think biblically, you're not. I think you need to read the Bible more. I do. I think there is a nation is coming that God actually said is from the end of heaven. Now, we don't even know where the end of the universe is, but God knows because he made it. And he doesn't say they come from the Middle East. He doesn't say they come from Europe. He says they come from the end of heaven. Wherever the end of heaven is, that's where they're coming from. He also says they're coming from the pit. God ascends up. And I think those issues are related. And I think that our government and governments around the world know this. If you think that there is this constant intrusion into United States airspace and our Air Force doesn't know anything about it, you're wrong. The Pentagon released information that they had a $22 million program or $220 million program, something like that, called ATIP, Advanced Aerial something. Anyway, it was a Pentagon program where they were studying these unidentified aerial phenomenon and what they could do about it. And the conclusion so far is there isn't a thing we can do about it. Not one thing. And I think that there is, number one, an increase in objects being sighted. Naturally, in the age of Everybody carries a camera now. Everybody carries a video camera now. People are taking very good video and pictures of these objects, and much of which I can show you in Scripture what they are. I can show you why they are a certain color. I can show you why they're a certain shape. But anyway, in the age of social media and the fact that everybody's carrying a camera now, these things are being captured along with certain previously unclassified creatures that appear on this earth that people are seeing, people are capturing on video. People are not scientists, but they're seeing that even some scientists. And when these scientists say, you know, I saw a chupacabra, all of a sudden their research money dries up and they lose their tenure. So they can't say anything about it. But I think there is an increase of these things going on naturally as a result of the fact that Bible prophecy is being in the process of being fulfilled in our days. I'm not a date setter, haven't been in over 20 years. God took me out of that almost right after I got into studying prophecy. God took me out of date setting. So I never say, I think we're within several months. I think, by the way, how's that blood moon thing working again? You know, all these blood moons where, you know, there's been four blood moons now, and then there's another blood moon, and how's that all working out with this, you know, rapture and tribulation and seven peace agreement? Where's all that stuff gone? How come we don't hear everybody coming out apologizing about hyping up these blood moons when nothing happened? Nothing. I think we need to stick to the Bible. And that's my thing. I'm seeing things now that I didn't see before in Scripture. And it's not that somebody went back in time and added them in. It's just that I'm like everybody else. I learn as I go. And, you know, you read things and then all of a sudden one day God wakes you up to it and it clicks and you go, you know what? The Bible's right. And so I think we're living in very, very interesting times. And I think that things that even I ignored or would not pay attention to, I'm coming around to because I can see it in the Scripture. Let's go to the book of Jude in our study of the man of sin, the son of addition again. These teachings that I'm doing, when we're done, we will have them available as a set, either of DVDs or all of them on an MP3 disc. And I'll let you know when I'm done. But I'm not done. We have a long way to go. We have many things to cover when it comes to the man of sin. And if you haven't picked up on this yet, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast, is a beast. He's not a political figure. He is not a religious figure. There is a religion about it. Don't get me wrong. But he's not a human man. He's not. He is something different than anybody we have ever seen before. There are many antichrists. Please don't think that I don't see that. The Pope of Rome is an antichrist, without a doubt. But he is not, in other words, Pope Paul, Pope John Paul I, John Paul II, John Paul III, there wasn't one. But anyway, Pope Francis is an antichrist, but he is not the antichrist. But I believe that he holds the seat, the chair. I found something out yesterday. There is a chair, an actual chair, that popes used to sit on that was carried about by people. Like in the old days, when a king, you know, he couldn't touch the ground because he was from heaven, right? He was the heaven god. And so kings never walked anywhere they went. They had to ride it in a throne carried by slaves or whatever. The Pope actually rode in a chair, carried by 12 men. He's the 13th. Do you get that? Bah, bah, bah. Like Revelation 13, Acts 13, Deuteronomy 13, 13, 13, 13, all of these 13s in the Bible. The Pope is the 13th in the chair carried by the other 12. Okay, that makes him an Antichrist, but he is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is still in La Pit, which is Spanish for the pit. All right, so that's who he is. Here is a spirit, an angelic creature that rises up out of the bottomless pit, because that's where he is right this second. And, I mean, I could do the same thing with the seat that I just told you about that the Pope rides around. John Paul II quit doing that. You know, when you get shot, you kind of change your methodology. So now they've replaced that with the Pope-mobile, all right? So now instead of like, you know, 12 men carrying, it's like four-wheel drive, right? But anyway, I could show you the same thing with the chair of the Worshipful Master in the Masonic Lodge. The Worshipful Master of the Lodge is the Antichrist. No doubt in my mind. The one in Washington, D.C., in the House of the Temple Lodge, this chair happens to be 33 feet tall. Dun, dun, dun. Why? Why that? Because that number is related to the beast. We showed you that last week. The phrase, the beast, is mentioned 33 times in the New Testament. And I can show you how all 33 occasions are related to the beast of Revelation 13. And so, yeah, there are many aspects or many places in the world that are placeholders for the Antichrist himself. These are Antichrist, but they are not the Antichrist, not the beast. He's coming. Get ready. He's coming. And all of these placeholders on earth are going to give way and yield themselves over to this beast, this man of sin. But he's a spirit. Mark it down. He is as much a spirit as the devil is, as Jesus Christ is. He is a spirit. All right? What button do I need to push? Here we go. Jude. Turn your Bible there. Jude. Get the Pure Bible Search software. PureBibleSearch.com. Jude. Verse 10, these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. This gives you the nature, the way the beast thinks, the way the Antichrist thinks. He is a brute beast, meaning that he is not a man, in that God has given mankind an ability to choose. An ability to, and we're told that the fore part of our brain, the frontal lobe, we're told that that's the place in our brain where we make morality decisions, good or bad. And if you're gonna cheat on your spouse, it's gonna happen right here. You're gonna either, against your own morals, do it, or maybe you have no morals and you're going to do it, but it's right here, all right? The frontal lobe. We have the ability to decide yes or no whether or not we want to fornicate with somebody. Beasts don't. Beasts don't. Male bucks don't go in rut and then stay in rut all year long. They don't mate all year long. They have a particular season for it. They don't get to choose what to mate with or when to do it. It's chosen for them in their DNA. That's a beast. They don't fall in love. They don't have the concept of love. So they don't get a choice. My good friend, Vance Mike Hutzel, said it this way, and I like the way he put this. The difference between a man and a beast. If a guy comes in your house 2 o'clock in the morning, you know he's not there to sell you a vacuum cleaner, right? And so you know he's going to come down the hall, so you open your bedroom door, and you're going to wait till he walks past your door, and you're going to clobber him with a baseball bat or something like that. As he walks by, he steps on your toes. Now, you have the ability to bite your tongue and not yell out because you don't want him to know you're there. You wait till he gets past so you can clobber him from behind. You can make that decision. You can choose to bypass primal urges. Whereas if it was your dog looking there and he stepped on your dog's paw, can your dog go, you know what? I'm not going to make a sound yet. I'm going to wait till he walks by and I'm going to bite him on the backside. Your dog can't do that. Your dog is going to yelp immediately. He does not have the ability to choose against his primal urges. We have a male dog in our house. He has constantly got his nose in the other two dogs, and we're beating him and yelling at him and telling him to stop, and it's every day. I've never seen a dog like this. And my wife says, Mike, he's a dog. He's a male dog. That's what male dogs do. And they don't stop doing it. This is the beast. This is why Peter said back, if I can get back here, Peter said they have eyes full of adultery and cannot see from sin. They can't stop. They just keep doing it. And you know what I see? I see in mankind a decreasing ability to make good moral choices. Man is not evolving. He's de-evolving. What was the meaning behind the rave group Devo? With their, I'm not even going to talk about their music or their uniform styles. But anyway, Devo meant de-evolution. And that is precisely what I see happening. Man is de-evolving. He's not becoming a higher form. He is going back to his primal urges in that he will not be able to cease from sin. And this beast, this man of sin, is exactly that. He is a brute beast. And all they know how to do is corrupt things. And that's what it says. These, what they know as naturally as brute beasts, and those things, they corrupt themselves. Everything, I mean, what does mold do? What does yeast do? What they do, what they do. They corrupt things. They spoil things. It's what they're designed for. God made them that way. In your decision on whether or not you think God created evil things, God created mold. God created the moth. God created rust. So yes, God created things that spoil, things that take away, things that steal, things that are not theirs. God designs this world and everything it, and God made this beast. He made him the way he is to do what he's going to do to mankind. And so Jude said, woe unto them. Where's my pen? I need a pen. Jude said, woe unto them. That's one of the woes of Revelation. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. What did Cain do? Cain was, he offered up his sacrifice without faith. Without faith. God, you owe me. You must accept my sacrifice because I did it. So therefore, Cain felt like God owed him. They've gone in the way of Cain. Cain was a murderer. Cain was of that wicked one. They ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for a reward. Balaam kept naming the price. I don't care if you give me half the kingdom. Half the kingdom. Did you hear what I said? Half the kingdom. Half of it. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah was Moses' first cousin that decided that he knew better than Moses did and tried an uprising against Moses, and the ground opened up its mouth and swallowed up Korah and all those that followed him. These are spots in your thing. Now, that word right there, we're going to come back to in a little bit. Spots. In your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Clouds. Think about clouds. I've just been talking about clouds for the last several weeks. Watchmen video broadcast. Clouds they are without water. Care about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth. What does that mean? Well, Jesus cursed the trees that would not produce fruit. They're cursed, meaning that there's no possibility that the Antichrist is going to pop up, feel bad for what he's doing, change his mind, and become a Christian. So don't plan on it. It's not going to happen. They're already cursed, and they're without fruit, and twice dead. You and I are twice born. They already are inheritors of the second death. And what is the second death? Lake of fire. They've already been allotted that as their portion. So they're not going to change. They're not going to, you know, I used to, in my younger years, not knowing what I know now about the scriptures, often think, what would happen if the devil got saved? Wouldn't it be great if the devil got saved? That'd be awesome. He's not going to. He's a beast. He's made the way he is. He's made to be taken and destroyed. He's made to do his evil things. God made him that way. They are plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea. If you hear New Agers, I mentioned this, if you hear New Agers talking about frequencies, there's your frequencies right there. The aliens have these ascended masters. They have frequencies, vibrations. They're waves up and down. Okay. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars. The Greek word for that is planet. Bum, bum, bum. There's a word for you. Wandering stars. That means that the ancient stargazers noticed that Venus would pop up certain times of the year, certain times of the morning. The moon had phases, and they learned to count the moon phases and learned to spot where it was going to be. Even if it was cloudy, they knew the moon would be in a certain location. They knew that the Big Dipper showed up summertime, Orion showed up in the wintertime. They knew those constellations, but then they were seeing stars that were out of place, that didn't follow the same pattern as the yearly constellations. So the word for them was planet, wandering star, because they didn't follow the rest of the stars. They were in, and that was because they were different than the rest of the stars. They were oriented a different way, in other words, in the heavens. So that's why they called them wandering stars. They were not where they were supposed to be. And in that, he's describing, we know he's describing the false teachers, the false prophets, thus the nature of the beast himself. They can't be trusted. Don't navigate by them. Don't steer your course by what they say and how they do things, because they're going to lead you astray, and they're going to do it every single time. There are a multitude, my friends, a multitude of people making videos, putting them on the internet that you should not trust, period. Because they are wandering stars. They are always going to lead you astray. Navigators will not navigate by them. GPS will not compute their location. Pilots will not use them to find out where they are and where they're going and where they've been. They don't trust them, and neither should you. Because they're always going to change now what they say, and they're going to give signs and wonders, and then all of a sudden they don't happen, but nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. I mean, the people who promoted these four blood moons, where are they now? They're lying about something else now, and people are still buying their books and their DVDs and sending them all kinds of money. They don't go away when they're wrong, because apparently nobody notices. So just keep doing it. Who was it? P.T. Barnum said, "There's a sucker born every minute." And I think half of the suckers are making YouTube videos and the other half are watching them. "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." That means no light in them. No light. They're going to claim light. Masonry claims to be the light. They claim to be the light of the world. The blazing star of Freemasonry is the Antichrist, and it claims that he is the one that's going to light the way and light the path for all of humanity. In fact, the worshipful master is supposed to be the greater light that rules over the day, instead of Jesus Christ, you know. So they claim to be a light, but they're not light. And who knows the difference? Those who actually know what light is. See, in a world of darkness, people don't know that they're in darkness, because everybody's the same. In a world of darkness, where the devil keeps men's minds and their eyes and their souls blinded, they don't know what even the light is. You can't describe it to them. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So if you know the Bible and you believe the Bible, and the Bible is in your heart, the Word of God, Don't consider yourself fortunate. Don't consider yourself lucky. Consider yourself blessed by the grace of Almighty God, because you didn't deserve it, but you got it anyway. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Again, I covered this on Thursday of last week, but I'm just kind of launching into these new notes here. Into an image like corruptible man and aboids, the four-footed beast, creeping thing. Notice there's four things here. A replacement gospel, another Jesus, fourth kingdom issues, what we're dealing with here. In fact, let's go to the book of Romans and get the context of this. Romans chapter 1. You can always tell what I've been working on right before PMO time. Habakkuk chapter 1. Let me just touch on this. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. If you want to study something in the Bible, study this nation. They are Chaldeans, but of a higher, they are the real Chaldeans. The earthly Chaldeans are just the shadow of the real Chaldeans. Does that make sense? The earthly nation of the Chaldeans is just a type and a shadow, but not the real thing. Not the thing itself. This hasty nation, bitter nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They're going to take things that don't belong to them. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall precede themselves. Look at this. Their horses are also swifter than leopards. Now, I did a little study on that. And just, you know, as it turns out, most horses are not faster than most leopards. But these are. So that tells you that they're a different type of horse. And they are more fierce than evening wolves. And their horsemen, look at this, their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. The men who are riding the horses, the Bible says, are going to be able to fly. Now, what does that tell you? Are they going to be in MiGs? They could be in helicopters? Or are they going to be riding in fiery chariots that fly swifter than eagles? This is a different nation than anything that we've seen before on planet Earth. I promise you, that's what's coming to this earth. This world, we have, you know, when these UFOs fly in our airspace and are the best pilots we have in our armed forces. One man, this is the incident from the USS Nimitz. The Pentagon actually released the forward-looking infrared radar or infrared video of this thing that was flying off the coast of California. They dispatched, we had two fighters out on, they were doing like drills, and they called one of the guys and said, what kind of ordnance do you have? What in other words, what kind of weapons do you have? And he's, we don't have anything. Why? We're out drilling. You need to go after this bogey. And they went after it. A guy lined up to engage this bogey, and all of a sudden this thing ends up behind him. It was playing with him. Our best pilots, said, these things are encroaching our airspace, and there's not a thing we can do about it because we can't even catch them. So what does that tell you? We're about to face an enemy to mankind. Mankind will not be able to fight. No way. How do you kill an enemy that you cannot catch? How do you shoot at something that is faster than anything you can shoot at it? This world needs to get ready. Because whether it's ready or not, it's going to face a bitter and hasty nation that the Bible refers to in this place, the Chaldeans. Where was that going? Romans. Romans chapter 1. God said, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. This is why everything that you put in your mouth, you ought to be thankful for. Every bill you pay, you ought to be thankful for it. Every dime you earn, you ought to be thankful for it. Every day that you are alive to be a blessing to others and other people to be a blessing to you, you ought to be thankful for it. I know this world is cruel and I know this life is rough, but there are some good things in it. We get the love and admiration of people around us. We get the love of family members. We get grandchildren. Right? Every day, you ought to be thankful, because a thankless generation is also a generation that glorifies God not as God. They become vain in their imaginations. You know what the imagination is? The imagination is your mind making up lies. It's your mind making up lies. You see a woman or a man, and your imagination makes up this lie about you two being together. That's your imagination. Now, we have the written word of God so that we don't have to use our imaginations. Everybody made a big deal about this song, I Can Only Imagine. And it's supposed to be about heaven. I don't like the song. I don't. Because I don't have to imagine heaven. I can read about it and know it. It will be what I read. And what I read is spectacular. What I read is beyond my ability to describe it or experience it. But I don't have to imagine heaven. I told you about Sunday school or vacation Bible school literature or something like that, where now the emphasis to the students is on imagining God and imagining how God would do this or how God would do that. And in telling the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, the children's Bible material said to close their eyes and imagine you being in the people of Israel on the other side of the Red Sea. Imagine Pharaoh coming after you. Now imagine God building a bridge across the Red Sea so you can have a way of escape. And I'm going, excuse me. Why would they have to imagine God building a bridge across the Red Sea when that's not what God did? God opened up the Red Sea. That's the way God did it. See, our imaginations, normally, our imaginations are against the knowledge of God. That's why we're to cast them down. Because our imaginations are against the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is the words that are in the book that God gave us to know God. Where does an image of God come from? Imagination. So we can either read about God and believe what we read, or we can imagine God, and that God would be different than what we read in the Bible. That's why when people stop being thankful, they become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart becomes darkened. They profess themselves to be wise, they become fools, then they turn God into something that God is not. a carved image of God is whatever image you carve of God that does not match the Bible. Like, he's a son of the gods. Or, he appeared in a body. 1 Timothy 3:16. Instead of God was manifest in the flesh. See, that's the spirit of Antichrist right there. He appeared in a body. I can imagine that was thrown in by that Jesuit that was on the New Testament Greek committee. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. I already read that. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God, the Bible, into a lie, NIV, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And that is exactly who the Antichrist is. He is the creature, not the Creator. So they're going to worship and serve. That's what the Bible's actually defining what worship is. Worship is serving. Whatever the creature tells you to do, that's what you do. They worship and serve the creature instead of the Creator. And so whatever this beast says to do, that's what everybody's going to do. And in that, that's how they worship this creature, a created being. And again, for those of you who say, I don't believe God creates bad things. God created this beast, or where did he come from? And even if you say, well, he wasn't bad to start, but did God know that? Absolutely he did. Absolutely he did. And if God didn't want him to be what he was, he simply wouldn't be what he is. That's who God is. See, I serve a God who is all powerful. His strength and his ability has no boundaries. God created this beast. But God is actually more powerful than this beast. We're not. I hope it's making sense. Now, Revelation 13 breaks it down. Let me bring that scripture up for you before we get into this. This is relevant. I had to keep track of time here. I have a doctor's appointment. In fact, I have like, starting today, I have like 3 or 4 doctor's appointments this week. Some not for me. But anyway. Revelation 13, again, this beast I saw was likened to a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So what we're going to do is we're going to study each one of these as given to us in Scripture so we can understand the nature of this beast. And again, are these symbolic? Yep, they are symbolic. Are they literal? Yes, they are literal and symbolic. Symbolism is defined in the scriptures themselves, not outside of the scriptures. And I've heard everything. Well, the leopard, that's Ethiopia. And of course, the bear is Russia. And the lion, let's see, the lion is Great Britain. Yeah, that's who that is. Really? Because I've heard, you know, everybody's got their pet view of who this beast is. Well, the beast, have you ever read the book, The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea? It's about Prince Charles. He's the beast. Nah. Nah. Prince Charles, he may be a beast in his nature. He may have one or two of some of the attributes. But he's like the most benign monarch in the whole world. And I've heard dozens of other possibilities, earthly rulers who are supposed to be the Antichrist. And people get pretty zealous over their pick. I don't want to call anybody a fool. I don't want to call anybody names. But he's a beast in every sense of the word. A spirit beast. An angel, according to Revelation 9:11. An angel of the bottomless pit. And he is part leopard, part bear, part lion, part dragon, part seven heads with 10 horns. He is all of these things together. While one person may seemingly qualify under one of these, none of them qualify all the way, except the one who this is. And again, if you ask me who I think it is, I will tell you, I will honestly say to you, I do not know. I really don't know. I think that he is not known currently. And I'm sticking with that one too. He has not yet been revealed. When he is, he will match perfectly everything the Bible says about him. And I mean everything the Bible says about him. And God's people are going to go, we were all wrong. That's him right there. We were all wrong. Praise God. Jesus is the only one right. God's true and every one of us are a liar. That's what we're going to do. And I read a lot of books in my lifetime and heard a lot of theories about it. Ronald Reagan, Henry Kissinger, Adolf Hitler, Nero Caesar, you name it. Take somebody's name, figure out some way of making letters into numbers, and you're going to make 666 out of somebody's name. I mean, it's just the way things happen. So, again, I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I'm not trying to down anybody. I'm not trying to say I'm smarter than you are, because I absolutely don't know. But I also don't think anybody else does either. Okay? But what we're told in the scriptures, we ought to pay attention to. He is like unto a leopard. So what does the Bible say about leopards? By the way, leopards are of the lion kingdom. The word Leo, that word Leo means lion. Jeremiah, they are the what they call the big cats. If you come to Festus, if you come and spend a couple days here, I encourage you to go to the St. Louis Zoo. One of the best zoos in the country that still, a lot of that zoo is free of charge. It's a great zoo. They have what's called Big Cat Country. They built that when I was a kid. And they've got all these types of lions and leopards and cheetahs and everything. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them, a leopard. Now, these are all literal beasts, yes, but they are also spirits of the angelic realm. They are spirit creatures, beasts. A leopard, notice this, that's what a leopard does. Now, lions and tigers and cheetahs and lynxes and bobcats and cougars. Yeah, maybe cougars are. But they're not necessarily noted for climbing trees, okay? They don't climb trees very well. But that's what a leopard does. And You hear me talk all the time. I watch these YouTube videos about the animal kingdom because I think you can learn a lot about the spirits that you deal with and wrestle against by looking at these animals. And I've seen leopards drag a 150-pound, almost 200-pound gazelle up into a tree just by the strength that this thing has. Whew! Leopards like trees. They don't like being on the ground. That's their nature. But they're up in those trees for a reason. Number one, the hyenas can't steal their prey. That's part of it. Lions can't steal their prey. Lions don't do well in tree. They can climb them. They don't like them up there. So they're safe from other predators stealing their prey, and they're safe from other predators killing them. So the leopards have the advantage over some of the other beasts because they're the ones who like to lay up in trees. Sleep up there. They can sprawl out on a branch and be comfortable up there. I'm going, I get killing my back thinking about it. But they'll carry their prey up into the tree. And from that tree, they'll sit up there and you would never know that they're there. This is why us hunters build deer stands up in a tree or some sort of elevated stand. It's because deer in their nature don't look up too often to look for predators. It gives us, the hunter, advantage over them. And from being up high, we can see them before they would see us. That's the advantage. Now notice this. A leopard shall watch over their cities. What's that all about? Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. That's what leopards do. Once they spot you, they leap upon you, and they're going to tear you in pieces. They're going to eat you up in little pieces. And why? What's the purpose? Because of their transgressions are many, and their backsliding are increased. I read a verse. Lord, help me see this verse again. I read a verse in Psalm that absolutely, there it is. I found it. Thank you, God. I want to show you a verse. If you ever wondered why God is allowing the wickedness of this world to increase the way it is, the answer, God's smart. God is wise in everything that he does. God has a reason for everything that he does. And I believe that those reasons are given to us in his word. We have but to find them or be led to them. But if you ever ask the question, why? God, why are you allowing the sodomites, the communists, the liberals, the wicked of this world to get whatever they want and do whatever they want and have their way? Why are you allowing that to happen, God? Meanwhile, we do one thing wrong and God is all over us, punishing us. It's because we need it. Number one, I want it that way. I don't want my God, my Father, to let me get away with sinning. That's not good for me. It gives you a clean life. When you have a God that comes down hard on you over your sin, that chastises you, that's good for you. And if you're tired of being chastised, the lesson is, quit sinning, and you won't get that anymore. But why does he let the wicked do whatever they... I know somebody. In fact, I know several people that are in and out of people's beds like some people take a shower. That is no joke. People... Because of these apps on phones and tablets and because of the internet, open up now is easier than it ever was. I mean, back in the old days, it was hard to try to find somebody because, I mean, you make the wrong move and, you know, you're just out of luck that night. Well, now we got apps where apparently you can find anybody you want. And they're all looking for it. And I know people who use those apps. Holy smokes, I know people who fornicate like other people take showers. And they get away with it. And they're going to continue to get away with it. I'll show you why. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. God's waiting. God's waiting for their sin to come to full. So they're not full yet. The amount, it's like God has a number of all the sins that he's going to allow everybody to commit. He's got a number in mind. It's like a big number. But he's waiting for everybody and all of their sins added up to touch that number. It's like a cup has a brim. And you can't add more to the cup because it has a brim. It has an edge to it. It's not infinite. It'll fill up one of these days. And when it does, that's what the man of sin is. The Bible talks about their sin or their transgressions come to a full. God says here, the wicked are going to be allowed to flourish. Why? So that God can destroy them. They've got to produce this fruit, though. They've got to produce. You remember that? I know how to find it. Luke 13:21. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. 3 measures. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. What does a little leaven do? Leaven's a whole lump. So a woman, this woman, is, in my opinion, Mystery Babylon. And she has planted this leaven in everybody. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But it's just like a woman who puts leaven in her dough. And then what do, ladies? When you make that bread, you put the leaven in the dough, and then what do you do? What do you do? What do you do with that dough in that pan? What do? Lay a towel over it, right? Why? Cover it up. And then what do? You wait. What are you waiting on? You're waiting for it to come to the full. At some point, there's no more room for the bread to expand, no more that the yeast is going to reproduce, burp up this gas, and make these air holes in this bread. There's no more that they're going to do. It's going to reach a point where it's not going to rise anymore. And any woman or any man who bakes bread knows this, that it gets to a point and it's ready. And God knows this point. You got to trust God. You got to trust him, people, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. And there's a number that they're going to hit. And the leopard's watching this. The leopard sees it. He sees it from farther away than anybody else does. That's why this beast is like a leopard. Okay? Hosea 13 says, same thing. Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard. By the way, will I observe them? Watching. Daniel 7, after this, I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. See, the wings tell you, this is a spirit It's not a man, it's a spirit. Four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Dominion. Why? Because he's higher than everybody else. He has dominion, right? So what is up with the leopard watching over the seas and observing everybody? Okay? What's up with that? This just came out the other day. Private company launches largest fleet of satellites in human history to photograph Earth. They're not just photographing the ground. Private company has set off a revolution in space by launching hundreds of small satellites, enough to photograph the entire landmass of the Earth every day. Now, what does that tell you? They have the ability to photograph every square inch or centimeter, for those of you, of the Earth every single day. And that's just a start. We know already that there are drones positioned over cities with high, ultra-high definition cameras that can monitor the motion of every person and every vehicle. And law enforcement, CIA, NSA can take that day's data, zoom in on any location, track any car or any individual, and know where they're going, where they went, where they came from, what, and then match that up with other data to know. Now, there's not enough people on the planet to monitor that information, right? So it's going to take, a computer. I was a little irritated this morning. I had to give blood for a blood sample for a checkup. And the lab that I normally go to, I like it because it's normally not very busy. So I was annoyed this morning because instead of going in, tapping on the window, and the lady says, "Good morning, how are you?" "Yes, I have a note from my doctor. I need to get this blood test done and because I have a checkup." "Okay, sure, we'll be right with you in a minute. Just have a seat." Instead of that, I get a robot. There's a kiosk in front of the window with a tablet saying, "Sign in here. Stick your driver license here under this light so we can scan it. Now stick your insurance card. Now turn it over. Now click this. Now do this." And it's all automated now. And I'm annoyed at this. I want a person. I don't want a robot. That's the way everything's going. Now there's an AI. An AI. See, if it was a human, humans can miss something, or humans can be bought off about information about, a judge or somebody running for public office or whatever. Humans can change the data or not look at something. But a beast, a leopard, an AI? That AI knows everything about you. There was something that came on Drudge today. I didn't get a chance to read the article, but basically what it says in a nutshell is, you know those smart light bulbs you bought? Well, guess what? The data from that smart light bulb gets sold, because then somebody knows when you go to bed because you turn the lights off. That Fitbit that you got for Christmas, or that smartwatch that you wear that knows when you go to sleep, knows how much you snore, knows whether or not whether you have sleep apnea or not, and knows when there's a little romance going on, because it monitors everything. And those microphones and those cameras, they're on. You see, you've already noticed this because you were having a conversation with somebody, and then somebody, you asked a question. They said, well, I don't know. So somebody said, why don't you Google that? And Google already almost had it all typed in for you. Right? And you got doodads at your back, and you're going, okay, that's freaky, because how did Google, listen, they're Google. That's what they do. AI is a leopard that can monitor everything. Everything. Including all those websites that you don't want everybody to find out that you went to. It's not a guy in a cubicle that you have to worry about knowing. It's not some government bureaucrat that you've got to worry about. Because the government bureaucrats themselves have their data recorded as well. So they're in the same boat. And an AI knows everybody's secrets like a leopard. Pentagon documents the military's growing domestic drone use. Look, it has wings. Domestic drone use by the Pentagon. The Pentagon is supposed to protect us from enemies, not protect themselves from us. They're supposed to protect us. Now, don't get me wrong. I think they're good patriots that work at the Pentagon. Okay? I do. I believe that there are patriots. I believe there are guys who work at the Pentagon who love their country and the American people. Don't get me wrong. But we all know that there are some people who have too much power. And there are some people who think that people are the enemies of the United States, and they're not. They're the enemies. But you see where I'm going with this. Drones, satellites, telephones, smart watches, smart light bulbs, smart thermostats, smart televisions. I remember when I first started doing the Watchmen broadcast, the big thing back then was they were converting all of the TV signals from analog to digital. And the government was making this mandatory for some reason. And then the government said, well, we'll give you this box for free that will convert your old TV to the new signal. Some guy made a YouTube video early on where he stuck a camera inside his converter box. He stuck it in there. And then he made a video saying, I wonder if there's a camera in there. Oh, look, there's a camera in there. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, the government must be using these boxes to watch us. Oh, no. And it was a hoax. It was a joke. And everybody believed it. Now, who's using the boxes? Nobody is. Nobody's using the boxes anymore. Why? Because all the old TVs, we got rid of them because these flat panels are bigger and cheaper than our old TV. And so everybody threw the TV out and the boxes. Goodwill quit taking the TVs because they don't have no place to put them. Nobody's wanting them anymore. Nobody's using them anymore. They're junk. But it was a hoax then that the government was secretly installing cameras in these boxes to watch us. And it wasn't true. But now people are willingly buying smart TVs with cameras and microphones built into them with our knowledge and consent. We know there's a camera and a microphone in there because we set it up so that we could speak to our TV to change the channel. And see, we got so lazy now. I used to be the kid that had to get up and turn the TV set. Mike, go turn it on channel 4. I want to watch the news. And I had to get up and walk over and turn the channel. So then we got remotes, right? Now we're so lazy, we can't push our thumb on a button. We talk to our television. And then we found out that that microphone was on all the time, listening to all of our conversation. But we thought it was okay because it's just a computer listening to it, not a real person. But it's not okay because it's not a person listening to it. It's a god, a leopard, a beast. Then, see, this is why I was in Habakkuk 1:8. Their horsemen shall come from far, they shall fly as the eagle. How does that happen? Unless they're spirits. This nation that's coming, they're not already on this earth somewhere. They're not people. They're not humans like you and I. They're alien in every sense of the word. And I'll give you two words to study in your King James Bible. The word alien and the word strange or stranger. Because we have a stranger nation coming. A nation of strangers. They don't belong here. They're alien in every biblical sense and human sense of the word. They are alien to this world, and they are coming. And God is going to give them dominion in that fourth kingdom. Now, Jeremiah asks this question. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? And then he tells you what he means by that. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You see, the people who, and I preached, didn't get a chance to preach it this last Sunday morning because we got ice everywhere. We woke up Sunday morning and I went, I better look outside. And sure enough, there was a glaze of ice everywhere. Rain, because in the upper atmosphere, it was warm enough for rain to fall. But when it hit the ground, it froze because the ground temperature was 28 degrees. But before that, I preached on our bad habits, sinful habits. And the Bible says, calls it accustomed to do evil. So whether you call it sinful habits, or addiction, or this is, I have a disease, or I'm getting treatment for it, or whatever you want to call it. If a guy develops the sinful habit of drinking, can he just one day wake up and say, I don't drink no more? Nah. Doesn't happen that way. Except by a miracle from God. Guy's doing heroin. Does he just wake up one day and say, I don't want to do heroin anymore? And doesn't do it anymore? Oh, listen, his body revolts against his decision. If a guy's out chasing girls all the time, catching them frequently, can he just decide one day that he doesn't want to do that anymore? Can he do that? His body revolts against that decision. His sin nature screams and cries out to be satisfied. That's what those spots are. That's why he's a leopard. He cannot change. He will not. And these false teachers, you're not, do you know how many letters have been written to guys like Kenneth Copeland trying to straighten them out on their doctrine? Probably thousands. And they'll get discarded. Now, there's some things I believe, some things I don't. But I'm telling you, and I have evidence, I have people who will vouch for me, I have been corrected at times. I have been corrected by true, sincere brethren who loved me. I've been corrected. Talking to a brother this morning, we agreed, I don't know everything. You don't know everything. I have my ministry. I have my gifts. And there are people who don't see eye to eye with me, but they have tremendous gifts in the Lord, talents in the Lord, and using them for the Lord. And I am all for that. I don't think any one of us are all going to see eye to eye. But there are those who are such false teachers. They're not. They have spots, and those leopards don't change their spots. Zebras don't change their stripes. Leopards don't change their spots. Short people don't think and grow tall. And these are all examples given to us in the Bible. It doesn't happen that way. And you cannot positively confess spots to go away. Numbers 28 tells you a spot. Two lambs of the first year without spot. That was Christ, by the way. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. See that word generation? That is a DNA word. Generation is always that. That beast is who he is made to be. God wrote his book of DNA out. And he is that way, and that's how it, because God's word doesn't change. God doesn't write your book out and say, oops, I made a mistake. I need to have the CRISPR guy come in and help me out with this one because I wrote your DNA all wrong. That's, God doesn't do that. God is perfect. God is wise. God is all-knowing. God doesn't make those mistakes. We do, but God doesn't. God made this beast exactly the way, God made that beast exactly that way. And I'm going to have to run here in a minute. Concerning Christ, thou art, I love the Song of Solomon. Thou art fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. No spot in thee. That's Christ. The church, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that be holy and without blemish. He's talking about sin. That thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? My friends, it's like this. He's a leopard because he observes. The data collection that's going on right now, you mark it down, is part of the beast system. No doubt about it. It's all part of that beast system. And that spot on that leopard is there for a reason. God is marking him. And I've got something to show you. I'll have to wait till Thursday about that spot or that dot. Look that up. Look up Bindi, B-I-N-D-I. Look that up. Find out what that is. Dun, dun, dun. I love you. Will you pray for me? I am under tremendous churches, spirits, okay? And I know about it, and not too many other people do, but I know it's there. So will you pray for us that God will allow us to keep doing what we're doing, okay? Thank you for all you do for us. I mean that. You're the reason why I do what I do here. Think Bible.